Insurance for ransomware payments is getting harder to come by. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Amy Scott, in for Molly Wood, who is on assignment. Throughout the pandemic, we've seen hospitals, pipelines, and other critical infrastructure hit with ransomware attacks. Just this past week, meat processor JBS and a ferry operator in Massachusetts were targets. Hackers often target companies with insurance because they know they're more likely to pay their often multi-million dollar demands. It's a topic for Quality Assurance, where we take a second look at a big tech story. James Rundle covers corporate cybersecurity at the Wall Street Journal. He says the increase in attacks has had a real impact on the cyber insurance market. Premiums are rising, and some insurers won't cover ransom payments anymore.
Cyber insurance has been around for a long time, but it's really only the last few years that it's ramped up and the big players have really got involved. But unfortunately for them, the just sheer ramp up in attacks is causing a lot of companies to claim on their policies, and it's causing huge losses for insurance companies who haven't perhaps modeled the risk properly in the past and understood what their liabilities would be, through to the simple fact they couldn't predict that ransomware would become this popular. So yeah, we're seeing insurance companies either limiting what they will cover, as we saw with AXA in France, and that was for French customers and very closely related to government discussions, but also in terms of what they're charging customers, what they're expecting from customers in terms of their cyber defenses as well.
What do you think the impact could be if more insurers don't cover these payments or charge more? Do you think fewer hackers would get paid?
I think the bigger impact is going to be on the companies themselves, who have typically used insurance and ransomware insurance in particular as a bit of a safety net in the past. They've thought, you know, well, if we do get attacked, at least our insurance company is going to cover that. With restrictions in coverage and limits on what insurance companies will cover, companies are now going to have to take a much stronger look at their own cybersecurity defenses and say, okay, are we investing properly here to ensure that we're not leaving our front door unlocked because our insurer is not going to cover it anymore?
And do you think that if it gets harder to insure these kinds of payments, companies will make sure all the doors are locked?
I think so. I mean, it comes down to any other kind of insurance. You know, if you walk out of your house and you leave your front door open and you get burgled, your insurance company is not going to cover it. So what do? You make sure you lock your door when you walk out. And, you know, that's dramatically simplifying it. But the same logic applies to cybersecurity, and having at least some form of cybersecurity in place is just the cost of doing business.
And it's not just ransomware, right, that is disrupting business. I was stunned by a figure in one of your recent stories from Johnson & Johnson, which said it deals with, you know, more than 15 billion cyber incidents a day.
Yeah, it's remarkable the level of the assaults that companies do face. And, you know, 15.5 billion is a big figure, but it's not uncommon. I've heard from insurers, I've heard from banks, I've heard from other major companies that they face similar kinds of threats every day. And not all of those are determined attacks, but a significant proportion are. And, you know, the US in particular is under fire from cyber attacks.
You've been covering this for a while, but it seems the world is paying more attention to ransomware in recent weeks. Is that having any effect on how negotiations are playing out between hackers and their targets?
I think so. The profile has definitely been raised, and we saw the group that was responsible for the Colonial Pipeline incident shut down over it. Now, whether they'll reform under a different name is another story. But we are seeing that companies are getting better at responding to ransomware. They're getting better at recovering the data and not having to pay that part of the ransom. But also what we are seeing is that criminals have evolved as well. So they're not just locking up files and giving you a decryption key for the money. They're also taking your data hostage and saying, all right, well, you might be able to recover, but if you don't pay, then we're going to publish your data instead. So it's a constant game of cat and mouse.
The Biden administration has said it's coming up with a plan to fight back, but we don't have a lot of details. What do you see as the role of government here versus the individual companies that are often the targets?
I think the government has a very strong role to play here. And from our reporting, you know, we've spoken to people who've said that they do have certain tools at their disposal which can help with this problem. A lot of ransomware operators, a lot of general cyber criminals operate in countries where their presence, you know, maybe isn't acknowledged, but it is at least tolerated. Particularly in Eastern Europe. We've seen a lot of the recent high-profile cyber attacks come from gangs based in Russia, for instance. And the government does have powers at its disposal, whether that's through sanctions, through other State Department powers, through policy change, or through other means, to at least hold countries accountable for having these people within their borders and not doing anything about it. That being said, a lot of government officials that I speak to do stress the point, the government can only do so much. You know, at the end of the day, it is up to countries to protect themselves, to make sure that all their windows and doors are locked and that they're not just open targets readily accessible to people with nefarious intent.
There's some thinking that cryptocurrency is actually contributing to this problem, that if there were tighter regulations, it would be harder for these hackers to operate. What do you think about that?
Yeah, cryptocurrency is a central pillar of the business model for ransomware gangs. You know, before Bitcoin and everything else, they used to commit wire fraud and use money mules. But now the ease at which people can buy Bitcoin or Monero or another kind of cryptocurrency means that this is now an integral part of how this happens. And in terms of regulation, there has to be some action that a lot of people say, you know, whether it's imposing stricter money laundering laws or know your customer requirements on exchanges or on services that allow you to transmit cryptocurrency, or whether it's looking at international cooperation and forming some sort of consensus around how transactions can be traced. It's definitely an area of discussion. Recommendations from current and former officials have been made. And it's something that we expect to see definitely moving forward.
James Rundle covers corporate cybersecurity at The Wall Street Journal. And now for some related links. The reporter Rachel Monroe has a fascinating piece in this week's New Yorker about the business of negotiating with ransomware attackers. It takes, shall we say, a unique set of skills, which cybersecurity expert Curtis Minder taught himself by taking master classes on negotiating and reading books by ex-hostage negotiators. Often, he's not just bargaining with cyber criminals, but the very upset clients who hire him. In Monroe's story, I learned that the first known ransomware attack was in 1989, when a floppy disk was mailed to thousands of public health researchers containing what it said was an informational program about AIDS. The disk also contained malicious software that locked victims' files and demanded they send $189 to a P.O. box in Panama. Fairly cheap by today's standards, last month, Colonial Pipeline paid $4.4 million to restore service. And Reuters reports that the U.S. Department of Justice is giving more priority to ransomware investigations. Guidance sent Thursday to federal prosecutors said information should be coordinated with a new task force in Washington in order to track and make connections between cases around the country. The special process is similar to how the department coordinates investigations of terrorism, showing just how worried officials are about these attacks. You can find links to these stories and more at marketplacetech.org. Jesus Alvarado, Stephanie Hughes, and Michael Lipkin produce the show. Our engineer is Jessen Dueler. I'm Amy Scott, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.